Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And if this is your first time watching or listening to the show, know that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really like it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group. Know that sharing my show and others like it that focus on improved health, happiness, education, and success is just one powerful way that we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, I want to start with a thank you to all of you that send in questions, comments, and suggestions for topics for the show. Well, today, we're fortunate to have with us one of the most renowned experts in the field that more than one listener has asked for. So I'm going to lead with one of those questions. This one reads, Dear Alan, after going through a terrible couple of years where I lost both of my parents and went through a nasty divorce, I tried to focus on myself, which I thought would be easier by the lockdowns. Instead, I put on 30 pounds and became more depressed. I shared with a dear friend that I was having reoccurring near-death dreams that were very bright colored in the beginning and became very gray by the time I woke up. My friend said that I was manifesting more pain by my negative focus on my life. Well, I've been trying to have more positive thoughts before I go to sleep, but it hasn't helped. I have also heard that if I die in a dream, I will die in real life. Is this true? Could you have a guest on that can tell me what this means and what I can do to get out of this negative cycle? And this is from Meredith in Madison, Wisconsin. Well, here to answer Meredith's question and so much more, our guest, Teresa Chung, has been researching and writing about spirituality, dreams, and the paranormal for the past 25 years. She has a degree from King's College, Cambridge University, in theology and English. She has several international best-selling books, including two Sunday Times top 10 bestsellers to her credit. Her book, Dream Dictionary from A to Z, is regarded as a classic in its field, and her spiritual books have been translated into over 40 languages, which has led her to fast becoming known as the Celebrity Dream Decoder. Now, Teresa has also co-hosted the 2022 DreamWorks Summit for the Spirit Network and is included in the 2023 list of the 100 most spiritually influential people in the world. And she also has her own popular podcast. It's a spiritual podcast called White Shores. Teresa, welcome to Answers Network.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be here, Ellen. Thank you for that lovely introduction. And thank you, all listeners, for the passion for dream work, because you were sharing with me earlier that you'd had questions about dreams. And I love that because it felt precognitive.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was great that we start getting questions, and I think we manifested you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much for the opportunity, because any chance I can get to spread the word about dream power, it is the most neglected self-help tool out there.
Well, now, do you want to start with Meredith's question, or would you like to give us a little background on dreams first?
I'd love to talk to Meredith and thank her from my heart and soul for her incredible question, because it enables me to share some information which I hope will give her a brand new perspective on dreaming. First of all, if you die in a dream, it means exactly the opposite. Dreams are overwhelmingly symbolic, and death is a symbol of letting go of one phase of your life and a new one beginning. Whenever there's an ending, there's a beginning. if you die in a dream, I hope you do die in your dreams, because it means you're growing, you're shedding old skins, you're transforming. And that's what we're here on this earth to do, which is to evolve. So please never fear dying in a dream again. Get excited and think, what transformation is happening? What am I letting go of, which no longer serves me? And the other part of the dream, can you just recap? It was about only the near-death experience.
Yes, and she said yes that it's been reoccurring that she's having near-death dreams, and they start out very bright colored in the beginning and become very gray right before she wakes up.
Oh, Meredith, I'm so excited for you. I want dreams like that. I've got dream envy. It's wonderful. Again, the theme of death, which I want you to lose your fear of, because that's the purpose of spiritual message often, is to lose our fear of the dark and of death, of the shadows, because in the darkness, in death, that's where new life is formed. So I want you to lose your fear of that. But the theme of death is occurring again in this near-death experience dream, where you everything's in bright, vivid color. But then what happens as the dream nears an end, it becomes gray. And that's your fear coming in again, not allowing yourself to experience that vitality, that color, and that life. And it is all about a mindset, which you are conscious of, that you want to work on. But go and read some famous near-death experience accounts, you know, the likes of Anita Morjani, Ibn Alexander, people like that, who allegedly, you know, we don't know, but they say they have died on the operating table, and they have, their consciousness has left their body and glimpsed heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. Their stories are overwhelmingly positive and inspiring, right? Again, your dreaming mind. Your dreaming mind is your best friend. It really is. It's trying to tell you. And what it's doing is it's using the shocking symbolism of death, because it knows you're going to wake up and you're going to linger on it. Now, it could send you a nice dream of you skipping, you know, in a park with dolphins and all that and angels. But the chances are when you wake up, you're not going to give it the time of day. But a dream like that, that's so shocking, you will think about it. And your dreaming mind has resorted to that, because it's probably been sending you more gentle nudges before, but you've not tuned into it. So I'm delighted that you're entered into a dialogue with your dreaming mind now, because that's all your dreaming mind wants. It wants an ongoing conversation with you, and it's got that now, but it also wants that conversation to be energizing, uplifting. Any dream that is interpreted, if you go online, there's loads of stuff online, and the dream interpretation is negative or drains you, it is the incorrect interpretation. I cannot stress this enough. The purpose of our dreams is to help us problem solve, to fire our creativity, And to inspire us, inspire our personal growth, right? And this dream is even nightmares are transformative gifts if you know how to work with them. And the crying shame is that so many people are frightened of their dreams, have all these myths and superstitions about them, and they don't understand some basic dream decoding skills. And I'm on a global mission to try and impart these simple tools, and I'd love to share some with you today if I can.
Well, and I would love that. Now, as you were saying that, one of the things that I picked up on was the fact that she's even remembering these make them more important. And I'm very interested in that, because I'm someone who dreamed and remembered them much, much more when I was younger than I have when I've gotten older. And I don't know where I got this from, but I sort of thought that, you know, once I became really busy and once I became a father and I was running businesses, that I was waking up and not remembering, because I was being snapped right into reality so much that I wasn't really remembering. But it sounds like that's not the case.
Well, you're still dreaming. I mean, if you don't remember your dreams, I mean, brain scans show we dream at least 5 or 6 times every single night. We have literally thousands and thousands of dreams in the course of our lives. The reason poor dream recall happens to us all, it happens to me, and I panic when it does because I'm a dream expert. But it happens sometimes when your waking life is overloaded, is stressful.
Okay.
And it mainly happens when the material, logic and reason have become overly dominant in your life. And it's shutting down the intuitive and the creative. So whenever people write to me about poor dream recall, first of all, I encourage them to look at their sleep hygiene, their diet. You know, if they're missing B vitamins, vitamin B6 is the dreaming vitamin. But I also urge them, just spend some time during the day silent walking. Go for a walk where you haven't got your headphones in, for example, or a little bit of meditating, if that's what you do. Listen to music. Because what you need to do is you need to give the dreaming part of your brain confidence that you are paying attention, because the dreaming part of your brain hasn't had enough nourishment recently. That's what it is. Also, reading a fiction novel half an hour before you go to bed can really fire up that part of your brain. There are simple ways to fix dream recall. And the reason you dream recall better as a child, often we read fairy stories to children at night. Why do we do that? If you go way back in time, it is to give them happy dreams. It is to give them exciting dreams where they learn about themselves from the inside out, right? We stop doing that as we get older. Give yourself a good night fairy story, you know, an adult one that's fiction, where you can go into be empathetic with the characters and lose a bit of yourself in your imagination. So that's often why dream recall is a casualty. Also, the reason we have more dreams in childhood is because we have this delicious ability as children to suspend disbelief. Logic and reason don't hamper us like they do when we're adults, you know, the practicalities of life. We do need to be logical and reasonable, but it can sometimes be too much emphasis on that. As a child, we are so comfortable in the zone where logic and reason are absent. And of course, that is the dream zone. Everything is in the world of the dream, bar reason and logic, right? And it's getting comfortable again in that wonderful state. But every leap of faith, every scientific discovery often happens when they abandon reason and logic. Well, Einstein, fabulous dreamer.
I was going to say, when you bring up the reason and logic part in the childhood, and one of the things it reminded me of was a dream that I remember very well to this day, which was, as a child, I was driving a car down a street where I lived in Pasadena, California. And when I got down to one of the main boulevards, I went out on the sand, which wasn't really there, and then started driving underwater. And I started to panic that I was underwater. And then I changed it. I changed the reality of it to where I must be dreaming, and this, and I'm enjoying this, so I'm going to keep doing it. And then, so I would drive under the water and look at all of the fish. Now, this is at about 10 years old. But I kept trying to pull that back. In other words, you know, I would go to bed and go, okay, I want to now go back underwater and drive underwater and look at all the fish. So tell me a little bit about that, but this concept that we can be dreaming and then something happens to the point that we just go, okay, yeah, I must be dreaming. I'll just let it keep going.
I love it. That's the holy grail of dreaming. You're talking about lucid dreaming. And anyone who's ever watched Inception, that Christopher Nolan movie, I mean, Christopher Nolan is a lucid dreamer himself, will know what I'm talking about. But if you're new to it, it's basically you're dreaming and then suddenly something utterly bizarre happens, like you're driving underwater. And the logical part of you kind of wakes up a bit, but not enough to wake you up completely, and says, this is a dream. Now, are you going to panic or are you going to enjoy it? Most people, their dream collapses because they panic. It's just too much. But children are much more comfortable, as I say, with the fairy tale world where there's no logic, and go with it. So I would encourage anyone who ever wakes up in a dream like that, is conscious of the dream, to really go with it. And you have infinite possibility out there. Go and enjoy this incredible experience. And it's so powerful, Alan, what you did as a child there, because what you're actually doing in this deep unconscious state, you are shaping your unconscious beliefs about yourself and your life. And as you know, in waking life, what you believe about yourself unconsciously is what you tend to attract. That's why so many people who do this manifesting trend, it makes me feel so frustrated. I see them, oh, you've got to write your lines and do your affirmations, you know, and you've got to positive think. That's toxic positivity. When deep down at an unconscious level, you don't truly believe you are enough. You don't truly believe you're capable of something. And it's what you unconsciously believe is what you tend to attract. That's why dream work, as I say, is such a powerful self-help tool, because you get to see up close and personal every night your unconscious world. What lies beneath? Dreams are messages from the deep, to quote Dune. You get to see that in all its many facets. You see the positive and you meet the negative. And as we tend in our waking life to repress or deny what we think is negative, sometimes what we think is negative isn't. We tend to hide it, and that becomes the shadow, the part of ourselves that we don't want to go there, because when we were a child or when we were growing up or somebody important in our life didn't like an aspect of our personality, so we learned to mask it. Yep. Because we needed our parents and carers for our survival. It's a survival mechanism. But as you get older, you know, sometimes things you were taught to repress, for example, if you're a girl and you are quite assertive and you in a traditional family didn't like that, you were taught to repress it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, when you grow up, you're going to start meeting controlling figures in your dreams. You're going to meet monsters, vampires, people that take you over. And that's the dreaming mind trying to get you face to face with this part of yourself mm-hmm. that you've been hiding, but which, if you enter into a dialogue with it and understand what it's trying to say to you, you will lose the fear of it. Because all these aspects of ourselves that we hide, we're often, all they want is to be acknowledged. They don't want anything else. They don't want to be acted on. Sometimes they just want to be, I'm here. I'm a part of you. Talk to me. Notice me. And that's why dream work can be incredibly powerful. To recap, sorry, I do get passionate about this.
Oh, No. That's great. But what I'm thinking is that what are some things that we can do to improve our ability to lucidly dream and to be able to remember it when we wake up?
Okay. All the things you can do to improve your ability to lucid dream are the same things you can do to improve your dream recall. Because first of all, you've got to establish a pattern of dream recall first, okay. Right? You can't just leap into lucid dreaming. It comes next. You first of all got to fall in love with your dreams. You've got to take them seriously. You've got to think there's an inner therapist inside you who has your best interests at heart, who night after night is messaging you with this precious wisdom to heal you and problem solve. First of all, change your perspective. And I'd like to quote some scientific research which shows actually that dream recall is a sign of a very healthy brain. Dream recall is good news. So don't panic though, if you're going through patches of poor dream recall, that's natural too. But what I'm saying is you can change that by changing your attitude towards dreams and taking them seriously. And just thinking, going to bed at night and thinking, I'd like to have a dream, please. If you keep doing that over several weeks, dreams will come. Trust me. When you wake up in the morning, keep still with your eyes closed. Don't immediately leap out of bed, because if you immediately leap out of bed, your conscious mind, your ego, your reason and your logic will take over, and your subtle unconscious world, where intuition and creativity rule, doesn't have a chance. It's too subtle. So when you wake up 2 minutes in bed, please linger there. Then allow the images to bubble up. Something will. And if nothing bubbles up, think, how am I feeling? Because the language of dreams is not just symbols, but also feelings. It's emotions. So you will wake up with a particular emotion. Write that emotion down. And when you find the act of writing it down, you will find more and more insights come. And then don't decode it straight away. Don't get hung up on it. Please record at least 20 dreams. Okay. Because dreams are best interpreted as a series, not standalone. Okay. People make the mistake of obsessing about one particular narrative, right? But dreams are like a series you tune in over and over again. It's the story of you that's shaping here, but the intuitive, nocturnal, unconscious story. right? So you need at least 20 dreams to see some kind of pattern emerging.
Now, when you say record 10 or 20 dreams, are you saying to just keep a recorder, like, you know, some sort of recorder or a phone or something that we can dictate into next to the bed so that as we wake up slowly, just sort of start recalling what it is that or dictating what we recall?
I mean, that depends on your lifestyle, and we all have busy lifestyles, and you think, oh no, not another thing I've got to do. And I don't want people to be stressed by this, to think they've got to, you know, go and put in an hour's work before they start their day. I want it to be as effortless as possible. It depends if you're with a partner, they may not appreciate you suddenly talking into a microphone. So it depends on your relationship, your lifestyle. I would suggest a voice recorder, yes, because my handwriting, I don't know about you, but my handwriting is so terrible these days. I can't even read it because I'm so used to typing. But if you can't do that, just a keyword, just a couple of keywords, a little scenario or a picture that's emerged from your dreams. That's enough.
Gotcha. To sort of mirror that back, where I wouldn't have to literally write down or dictate a whole thing, but I could just put driving underwater, and then that would help me recall.
That's a wealth. We could have hours discussing that, symbolism of that. Because, and you may ask, well, why do dreams talk in this ridiculous, bizarre language that I don't understand and other people don't understand when I share? I'll tell you why. Your dreaming mind is an artist, is a poet, is a musician, is an inventor, an innovator, a visionary. And what's the language of artists and poets? It's symbols, it's metaphors, it's associations. You think of great works of art that you can just look at forever and lose yourself in. And when you come again the next day, you get different perspectives. The reason the dreaming mind uses symbolism is it can say more. A picture paints 1,000 words. I would like everyone listening, if there's one thing you get from this interview, think of your dreams as night poetry, as a poem. Go back to school when the teacher put a poem on the table and said, I want you to go through it line by line now and see what is beneath the surface. And that's exactly how you interpret your dreams. And it's terrific fun doing that. This is, you know, it's like modern art. If you've gone to a modern art gallery, you know, how people interpret that. It really is tapping into the part of you that is an artist, that is a poet. We all have that part. However rational we like to think we are in waking life, we have that part of us that is crying out to talk to us. And anyone who is creative, if they are having a creative block, just write down some keywords from your latest dream. It will wake up that dreaming mind and unblock whatever's blocking you. Trust me, that works time and time again.
Well, another thing that anyone who listens to this show knows is that I love success stories. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Teresa, I'd love for you to share one of your favorite success stories in how somebody had a shift in their dreams and how it changed their life. So for everybody, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're talking with Teresa Chung, and we're talking about dreams. And one of her books is The Dream Dictionary from A to Z. So when we went to break, Teresa, we talked about success stories. Can you share with us one of your favorites?
I Everyone is a favorite. I get a lot of messages from people all over the world, which is wonderful, because I do leave my email actually at the in the Dream Dictionary and say, look, if there's something you're struggling with and the tools I've given you, you know, it's not helping, let me know and I'll give you some pointers. But I mean, I'm just going to go back to something that came in yesterday. There was this lovely lady. I shall call her Maria. That isn't her real name, but I will call her Maria. And she was a mum of, I kid you not, 9 children, a lot of children. Wow. And, you know, she said that for the last couple of years, this had been a recurring theme. She kept having dreams that she was pregnant and giving birth to monsters, you know, and aliens. And it happened, and it was starting to make her really disturbed because she didn't want another child. She said she just couldn't cope with another child. And these dreams were scaring her, because sometimes I talk about the potential precognitive potential of dreams. Some dreams do alert you or warn you of future things. And I can talk about that at another time. Mm-hmm. But and she was terrified. Am I pregnant? Am I going to be pregnant? You know, she was still fairly relatively young. And so we had some backwards and forwards, and I she sent me some of these dreams, and they were terrifying. I mean, they were nightmare ones. In some of them, the babies were eating her and destroying her. But basically, what it really came down to is it wasn't anything about being a mother or wanting another child or not wanting another child or being scared of her children. It was basically her own inner child that was happening here, that she was completely neglecting her own needs, which of course often happens when you're a busy mother, and that she felt that spending any time on what mattered to her, even emailing me, she said she felt that she couldn't spare the time, felt something she shouldn't do. And the dreaming mind was trying to say that you need to nurture, you need to parent yourself just as much as you need to parent all 9 of them. And that's a big ask, but it was basically her inner child was struggling to... It was withering. It had gone. She had been so involved in this role of mother, which of course she is, and it's right that she is, but she also, you know, you can't give to others what you don't give to yourself. She was giving herself no time for self-care. And she literally did. She took it seriously. She booked herself for a hair appointment. She organized an afternoon off.
Good.
Tell you, the recurring dreams stopped. She's having other dreams now. I mean, dreams do recur because the purpose of our dreams is to help us evolve. And we always have issues in our lives that we need to learn about and evolve from. But those horrific things, because she thought, oh, my goodness, do I hate my children? You know?
No, but what it sounds like is that, you know, she was making her inner child feel like an alien.
She was dreaming about giving birth. What she was giving birth to was her own inner child. And it was it was ugly. It was scary. It was something she felt that she couldn't nurture anymore, that she didn't deserve that time, you know. And it's just that basic shift, because she was interpreting it in a different way, literally, that she was going to get pregnant, or, you know, she was looking into the psychology of it. Perhaps I hate being a mother, you know, because all mothers get stressed. It was not that at all. It was just that she wasn't paying attention to her own inner child. And we all have that. Our own inner child needs just as much care throughout our lives. Part of the journey of our lives is learning to parent ourselves, becoming self-reliant. And part of that self-reliance is self-care and self-love, which a lot of us, for whatever reason, our upbringing, really struggle with. Dreams don't like that. They want you to make yourself number one. Because you think in the dream world, you're the creator, the director. It's all about you. It's a hall of mirrors you're going into. It's your world. You create it. You script it. So why do most dreams have anxiety themes? It's sad. I'm on a mission. Happy dreams, happy life. I think if you can dream about a happy life, you're far more likely to manifest it. Remember what I said, you unconsciously believe it's possible. But then don't panic if you have tough dreams, challenging dreams, because, again, get excited. You think, oh, I'm time to grow again. I've got to grow.
Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone. That's where, out of your comfort zone is where all growth happens. And your dreaming mind knows that.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm smiling about is that, you know, my kids have a running joke that says, so we're just wondering what dad's going to do when he grows up. So I don't think I have any trouble with
the inner
child. I think they think the inner child may have taken over.
Well, I love that. That's good. I mean, but the inner child is basically, it's just really the archetype of our creativity, our spontaneity, our passion for life. If we don't have that inner child, that inner joy and love and passion and excitement and curiosity, if we lose that, life feels empty and blank. And you see that played out actually, you know, even in the world of celebrity, for example, people who have everything but nothing. Mm-hmm. We saw that recently with the tragic death of Matthew Perry, which hit us all hard in that mm-hmm. he gave so much to others, but he wasn't within happy. And he's actually was quite open about that, in that chasing outer success without inner peace was meaningless. That the sad thing is, in our lives, we spend so much of our lives, all the things, you know, career, popularity, money, they're top of our priorities. They're always top. And I think we need to reverse that.
Yeah.
Inner peace, then success. Not success, then inner peace. People think, well, if I pass that exam, if I get that job, if I'm in that relationship, if I have these children, if I have a million followers, then I'll be happy. No, be happy first. And then see about the other things.
There are whole countries that agree with you. And I did a little studying on happiness, and the country of Bhutan, they don't focus on we have in the United States gross national product.
Yeah.
What is our gross national product? They have gross national happiness.
Yes.
And they measure happiness amongst all of their people.
And I love that.
But it's exactly what you're talking about. We've got this upside down.
Yeah.
And we really need to go back to a focus of what is making our people happy, not what is.
In is the only way out.
Yeah.
In is the only way out. I cannot repeat that enough. Without inner peace, you can inherit the world but have nothing. And you were referencing different cultures. I'll reference, you know, the indigenous people of the Sonoy tribe who have been studied at length. There is controversy about their research, but one thing is certain about them. Dreaming is the most important thing. From the age of 3 or 4, children are encouraged every morning to go to the elders and report the contents of their dreams. Now, these people, they live very simply. They only spend 2 to 3 hours a day on material concerns, their shelter, their food. The rest of the time is all about dream work. They are called the Dreaming Tribe. Mm-hmm. You know about that tribe? The incidence of depression and crime is nil.
I will be looking up more on that because I love that.
Yeah. The incident, they are dubbed one of the happiest tribes on earth. I mean, it could be way because they're very isolated. You have to go in by a helicopter to reach them. But the inner world is key. And actually, they use the inner world also to help their young children survive, because if a child dreams of being chased by a predator, they will be encouraged to do what you talked about, lucid dream, go back into that dream and actually stand and face that predator and survive. And that it's again threat rehearsal, so that should it happen in real life, that dream has quite literally saved their lives because they've rehearsed these skills they need in the dream state. That's also a part of their culture.
I love that. I wanted to touch on so much, and I think we're going to end up, I would love to have you back and we can continue. But in the very beginning, one of the things that you mentioned, I think when we were talking about Meredith's dreams, but it has to do with some of the dreams that if you're remembering them, it's maybe a message that you're not getting yet. You know, you're not getting, you're not understanding, or you're not doing something to correct something so that you don't need that one anymore. But what guidance do you offer on distinguishing between the significance of a particular dream or a dream symbol and other ones that might just be random noise?
I'm going to kind of disagree with you. I think every dream is precious. No dream is trivial. In my humble opinion, I mean, there's controversy there amongst even dream researchers that some are wish fulfillment and some are random. But I think every single dream is priceless and worthy of recognition. But if you find in your dreams similar scenarios keep recurring, you know, in different ways, but it's a right. similar theme, like you're always being chased, or you're always running late, or you're always missing that flight, or you're on stage and you've forgotten your lines, or your teeth are falling out. You have these very common recurring dream scenarios. It is your dreaming mind saying there's something your heart, your intuition has noticed in waking life. Dreams are kind of thoughts from the heart, but you're so busy, your ego is so busy living externally, you haven't noticed it. So the only way I can alert you to this thing that I've noticed is in the dream state when your ego's asleep, again, along with your reason and logic, and you're not noticing it. So I'm going to keep sending it to you. I'm going to kind of like tough love, over repetition. And but what will happen is if you don't get the message of that dream, it may erupt into a nightmare. However, in your waking life, if you do understand the message of the dream, that recurring dream theme will stop. It will stop because you're not a different person in the dream state. People think when they go to sleep, they become something different in the dream. You're not. It's still you. You have to understand we are awake 24/7. We don't get time off from ourselves, actually. we're just in a different state of reality, right? But it's still your consciousness. It's you, right? Parts of you are asleep. The material is asleep, but you are wide awake in this amazing virtual playground that you've got, the funnest show on earth, the most sublime show on earth, really. You are awake. And what you do in your waking life influences your dreams. What you do in your dreams influences your waking life. The two are interconnected. They comment on each other.
Well, in your belief, which influences the other more?
Neither. They're 50-50.
Okay.
The dream world is just as valuable. It's controversial, but if you do believe in the possibility of life after death, and I stress possibility because there is no proof, but I'm also going to say there's no proof there is no life after death either. So who's right? We'll find out, all of us, one day. But, you know, consciousness, if you believe in life after death from near-death experiences, we talked about those before, that's the part of you that goes on. Your feelings, your memories, that spark of life. I mean, if you've ever had the privilege to sit with someone when they pass, it's like the light goes out. Where's that light gone? You know, and if you believe that we're in a universe of energy and that thoughts and feelings are energy, it's entirely feasible, in my humble opinion, that a part of us does go on. And that's where you went. That's the dream state, just as important. Because on person's deathbed, they don't talk about the material stuff. They talk about this unconscious world, love. Love is something you can't see or touch, but it's real. Dreams are exactly the same. And what's the most important thing in life at the end of the day? It's not the career, the money in the bank, the Instagram likes. It's love.
Yep.
How have I helped another person breathe easier? Have I loved? Am I loved in return? And that's what we all seem to be trying to escape from. But at the end of the day, that is the only currency that matters. It truly does. And we see that played out on the world stage over and over again. Just look at some hugely famous people who have it all, but nothing.
So well said. I couldn't agree more. I wish that we had more time for everybody out there. The book is Dream Dictionary from A to Z, but know that there are quite a few more. It's Teresa Chung. And probably the best, Teresa, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Oh, I'm very prolific. I'm on Instagram at the Teresa Chung. I'm on Facebook. I'm on X. My website is www.teresachung.com. I've been around a long time, so brace yourself. I'm not a serial killer. I'm a serial writer.
Well, I love that. I would love to be able to have you back so we could continue. Time has just flown by. But Teresa, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I think you are just a beautiful shining light to everything that takes us in the right direction as a society, as a culture, as humans. So please keep on doing it and keep me posted. Whenever the next thing's coming up, we'd love to have you back.
I would be absolutely honored. And I want everybody to have wonderful dreams. Don't fear your dreams anymore. They are your best friend. They have your best interests at heart. Sometimes they use tough love, But get excited if you have an anxiety-themed dream. It's because you need to grow. You need to let go of something that's holding you back.
All right. For anybody out there, if you're driving, you weren't able to write that down, I'll make sure that in our show notes that it's all the information you need to be able to get a hold of Teresa and or to be able to get hold of the book. Again, thank you so much for being with us. All right. For everybody out there, please be with us next week when we're joined by Sally Fryer Dietz as she discusses her new book, Sensory Processing Solutions. Now, know that you can visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network. But if you want, just subscribe to the show. You can do it through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, if you want to see us, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many other popular podcasts. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and know that I greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Instagram, Facebook, or X, please remember, stop by our page, check out some of our latest shows. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.